I'd like for the Lord to, you that sing, want to sing, pray that God will put a song on your heart. Amen. That the Lord would use you in the meeting. Amen. We should all, just whatever it is that God would have us to do. But all of us need to pray. All of us need to pray. I appreciate the songs this evening, the choir singing, you singing, and it sure has been a blessing, all of it. And, if you've got your Bible, turn with me to the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 19. Book of 2 Kings, chapter 19. While you're turning there and getting ready, just by way of a help to your Bible study, even in the previous chapter, chapter 18, 2 Kings 18. It begins speaking about the king of Assyria coming to attack Judah and Jerusalem, King Hezekiah. Now you can find that same story in Isaiah chapter number 36 and 37. The same words, many of them. Same, because Isaiah was a prophet in the days of Hezekiah. The messages, you'll find the things about that happened in the lives of the kings, you'll find them sometimes. The same words in those major prophets, like Isaiah. I'll give you an instance. Isaiah 37, 1 through 4, is identical to 2 Kings 19, 1 through 4. The same thing that he's referencing to, word for word. And that's where we're at, 2 Kings 19. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. They said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to birth. There is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. That's as far as I'll read for sake of reading. This, I wanted to talk to you and preach along these lines of this story of Hezekiah's deliverance. Hezekiah's deliverance, the deliverance of his people. When you think about our own lives and the needs that we have spiritually or physically, like Hezekiah, he had an enemy come in, a powerful enemy. He's a type of Satan, he's a type of, just the enemies of man. And he comes, the king does, of Assyria, and if you'll look back in chapter 18, verse 13, it says, "Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them." Everything that was fenced, he overtook it. He was a strong enemy. It speaks of his strength to be able to come in and take these fenced cities of Judah and many other countries, if you read this story. And there'll be some verses that I'll read that could not withstand the strength of the king of Assyria. This enemy that is now knocking at the door of Hezekiah. And so he begins to tell Hezekiah, king of Judah, in chapter 18, verse 14, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, "I have offended. Return from me. That which thou puttest on me will I bear." And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. Now listen, what Hezekiah done is he began to bow to the request of the king of Assyria. That he said, "I have offended thee." And there's a lot to this story I don't have time to get into, but Hezekiah more or less yields to this king that wants to overtake him. And this king of Assyria said, "I want this much silver and I want this much gold." Now this is where I believe Hezekiah did wrong. He went and took those things from the house of God. He took the silver out of the house of the Lord, where he had overlaid the post with gold. He had scraped the gold off of the post to give to this Assyrian king. And the whole time, this Assyrian king was pointing his finger in the face of the king of Judah, Hezekiah, and in the face of his God. He was strong and he was very proud. He was strong and he knew he was a strong enemy. Isn't that the way that Satan is? As though none can withstand him. To say anything he wants to say, to do anything he wants to do, and you and I should just yield to whatever it is that he says we must do. Well, Hezekiah was right there in that situation. And at that time, verse 16, he cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah the king had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. That was God's. I'm not giving God's to somebody else. I'm not giving what belongs to the Lord to somebody else. Amen. I sure don't want to give to the devil what belongs to God. But he wanted it. He wanted it and he didn't care where that he got it. He wanted it. This was the payment. And you know what? Hezekiah gave it to him, and it was not enough. It wasn't enough. And he was offended because it just was not enough. Hezekiah said, I've given you everything. I've given you all of this, and it wasn't enough. The devil, listen, he ain't never going to be satisfied with what you give him. It's never going to be enough. He's always going to want more. He's always going to want to take. He's never going to be satisfied to just let you go on in peace. He was here to disturb his peace. He sent one of his servants named Rabshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah, down in verse 17 of chapter 18. With a great host, he sent the strength of his army with this servant of his, the king of Assyria did. Now look what he did when he had called the king. In verse 18, there came out to them Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe. Now these are the head spiritual men of Israel, of Judah, in the days of Hezekiah. These are not lightweights. This man is appointed. There were many scribes. This man is named the scribe. And the other one, he is over the household. That's the king's household. And Shebna the scribe and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder. And Rabshakeh said unto them, speak ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria. What confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Now he starts asking wrong questions in the wrong way. Because he's more or less rebuffing everything that Hezekiah, he's more or less trying to yield and to pay this man off to get him to stop, but he's not going to. And he's about half mad, I think. He acts like that Hezekiah is doing this deliberately. And so he asked him that. Where is this confidence, wherein thou trustest? What confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Well, it's not in myself. It certainly wasn't in himself. I mean, King Hezekiah knew his strength was no match for the strength of this king. He knew how that he had taken all these other places and they could not stand against him. He knew that he didn't have the men. Listen, this is just how awful that this king of Assyria is. He said, I'll send up this many horses if you could get men to ride them. In other words, I've got horses to give you, but you ain't even got the riders to put on them. You see, he's very intelligent. He knows his weakness. The devil knows your weakness. He knows my weakness. And he does that to him. He's belittling him. He's belittling him. And so Hezekiah knows he doesn't have the strength, his confidence, this confidence that he's going to have. It's not in himself. It's not in his strength. Listen, and our deliverance, children of God, is not in the strength of our hand. We can't put confidence in the flesh. The Bible says have no confidence in the flesh. Have no confidence in the flesh. Now, he goes down and says, now, behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed. Verse 21 of chapter 18. even upon Egypt. See, he called Egypt because they were partners in war. He knew that Hezekiah had Egypt to lean on. Egypt was a great power in that day. And they would come to his aid, he would come to their aid. That's the way that it worked in war. Countries, and still to this day, come together. But he knew, even with Egypt, he didn't have the strength. And this king said, you're going to trust in this bruised reed, Egypt? I mean, this weak thing is more like, he was mocking all of Egypt. He said that if a man lean upon it, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, into all that trust him. In other words, you try to trust in Pharaoh, listen, it's going to be to your detriment. Because everything he's telling you, he can't perform. He's not going to be able to help you. He's like a bruised reed. If you lean upon him, listen, it'll pierce your hand. But if you say unto me, now this is the king of Syria still talking to Hezekiah, king of Judah. But if ye say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God. Now, buddy, he knew he had the big gun to pull out. But this is what the king of Assyria said to him. If you say that to me, like they've said to so many others, when they first come into Canaan land, did they not say, we trust in the Lord God? And they overtook city after city, people after people, trusting in the Lord God. Any time that Israel had an enemy, and if they were following the Lord and obeying the Lord, they had the power of the Lord to overcome, and people feared the Lord, God of Israel. They didn't so much fear Israel till they knew the Lord God was on Israel's side. They said, this is the God that did to Egypt what he did to Egypt and brought them out and gave them Canaan land. Everybody knew who that was. Everybody knew again who this God was. Now he says this. He said, if you say, we trust in the Lord God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away and hath said to Judah and Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem? Here's this man's weakness. He doesn't know God and his relationship with Hezekiah like he thinks he does. You see, when this king of Assyria, all he knows is false gods, false religion. And he thinks this is just another false religion. Hezekiah was actually bringing Israel, Jerusalem, Judah, all of them, back to worship the true and the living God. By doing what? By tearing down those high places. What were those high? I thought they were for God. He said they were for God. He thought they were for God. God never was in them high places. And he told them, said, you're going to tear down these groves and these altars that's been made to all these other gods, and you're going to worship right here at this altar in Jerusalem. See, he thought, the king of Assyria, thought that Hezekiah had been tearing down the altars of God, had been thinning the altars of God out. And so he said, you're going to call on that God that you've been tearing down all his altars and telling the people they just come to this one? You're going to call on him? Yes. Is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away? And I said to Judah and Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. Now therefore, I pray thee, give pledges to my Lord, the king of Assyria, and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. There's that mockery of the horses. How then will thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Am I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. This pagan is looking Hezekiah in the face. Now remember, the king of Assyria had his servant saying his mouth work. So it's actually the servant saying what the king of Assyria, who is so high, the great king of Assyria, he can't even come down and talk to the king of Jerusalem and Judah, of all Israel, face to face. So his servant is, and he said, God sent me here because you've been tearing God's altars down. You see how confused they are about religion and about the truth? It looked like that, but it was far from the truth. He said, God's the one that sent me here. You're going to call on the God that sent me here to overtake you? Now, that may have been the case in other cases. God has at sundry times let armies come in to chasten Israel. Why? Because they had set up altars and they had set up groves. And they had ceased to serve God. This king thought those were God's groves, God's altars. But Hezekiah is having them tore down. He's bringing people back to God. Don't you think his relationship with God's getting in good standing? So this man looks him in the eye and said, am I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said unto me, go up against this land and destroy it. Then said Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna, and Joah, and Rabshakeh, speak, I pray thee, to thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it. And talk not with us in the Jews' language, in the ears of the people that are on the wall. You see, the officers of Assyria were talking in loud enough to be heard. And the people of Jerusalem, the people on the wall, they could hear it. And they said, speak in the Assyrian tongue that they don't understand. There was an appeal was made to the officers of Israel that they speak in the Syrian tongue, so that the people on the walls wouldn't understand. They didn't want the people being confused about what was being said. So the officers of Israel were asked to speak back to them in the Assyrian tongue, lest discouragement would have set in among the people on the wall. Because I'll tell you what, sometimes one word from somebody who's supposed to have strength in the wrong way can defeat a lot of people. You know that? Let me say that again. One word spoken from someone strong can weaken and defeat a lot of people. We as God's children, listen, we are to be the strength of the brethren, strength to the brethren, strength to one another, an encouragement, an edification. Not, boy, we're going to get it today. You know, the devil, he's got us. He's going to whip us out. We ain't going to, I mean, could you imagine if all that ever come out of this pulpit was we're defeated? Yens ain't never going to have no joy. The devil's got us all right where he... Well, you'd be more miserable when you left than when you came. We're to encourage one another. Hezekiah's deliverance is exactly that. And they knew they needed deliverance, and they needed that their people didn't understand what these heathen were saying. That was their first step of deliverance, to stop the language that was coming in, to stop what they were hearing that was discouraging them. And we should do that in every avenue. Stop those avenues that are discouraging us. Things we hear, no matter what avenue they're coming from, they're discouraging us that we can have victory, that we can overcome, amen, that we can have revival, that the enemy, he's not bigger regardless of what he said. I may not be able to stand against him myself in my own strength, but there is one in whom we can put confidence today. And the devil will tell you, just like he told Hezekiah, is this the same God that you didn't pray to this morning? He'll try to find you fault, you see. Is this the same God you've not walked with in a week? So, he comes on down and tells them in the Jews' language, in verse 28, and cried and said, "Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you." Trying to turn them against their own king. Don't let him deceive you. Look at us. We're greater than you. We're more than you. That's what the devil says. We got a better time out here. Don't you let that church, that preacher, that deacon, those teachers, those older ladies, older men, don't you listen to them. We're stronger than they are. And so, instead of being quiet, they begin to speak louder and make insults against God and the king. And so, Hezekiah, here we come to chapter 19. I'm about done. It came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. I want to tell you something. Knowing what I know about the Bible, when I read that and I see the king, the one at the top, rents his clothes, puts sackcloth and ashes on, and goes into the house of God, his one statement comes to my mind: help is on the way. He knew what he needed to do. He wasn't going to put on his best robe and walk in there and pooch out his chest and say, "What about that, God?" No, he wasn't going to do that. He humbled himself. He repented of all that he may have done before his God. And he went into the house of God by himself to speak to God, to do business with God. You know what that king did? He sent a letter back. I mean, he kept mocking God. He kept blaspheming. Sent a letter back to Hezekiah. You know what Hezekiah did? Hezekiah got that letter, went back in the house of God and laid it out. And said, "God, look at what he wrote. Help is on the way." Amen. That's what Hezekiah
He knew, listen, I love that picture. I love that scene that he would just lay it all out and say, God, here it is. You've seen what he said. You've seen what I've said. God, you know that we're your people. You know that I have no confidence in my strength. This enemy is too powerful. He blasphemes your name. What are you going to do, God? What are you going to do? Help is on the way. You know what God does? God tells Hezekiah. Now see, Hezekiah came to Isaiah first, the prophet. He came to the heavyweight. He came to God's main man of God and said, Isaiah, here's what's happening. I need you to go talk to God for us. He came in a repentant way. Again, his clothes rent. He had sackcloth, covered himself. King. And he went to Isaiah in that condition and said, Isaiah, I need you to talk to God for us. Because he knew God would talk to Isaiah. I know Hezekiah and many other kings maybe at times thought God may not talk to them, but he knew God was going to talk to his prophet. He knew one way or another there was going to be a message come back. Verse 5 of chapter 19. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say to your master. You see, God was his master. The king was their master. But God was Isaiah's master. He wasn't going to say something just to please the king. He's going to give him exactly what God said. And here's exactly what God said. Thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land. And I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own hand. They're going to go and kill themselves. What about that? You read the story, you read what happened. That's exactly what happened. God sent a blast, a rumor. And that king of Assyria got all that and turned back to his own land. Just what God said. Verse 8, so Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring in Libna. For he had heard he was departed from Lachish. There the king of Assyria, He wasn't even thinking about Hezekiah no more. He was in a whole nother war with his own self. Isn't that amazing? Listen, all because Hezekiah knew that he could not put confidence in himself. He knew. I love those statements. How that he said, now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Whom dost thou trust? Verse 20 of chapter 18. I meant to give you that one. The king of Assyria's messenger told Hezekiah, now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt. Back up in verse 20.
Thou sayest, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for the war. Now on whom dost thou trust if thou rebellest against me? That king said, I have counsel for war. I've got the plan. I've got the war plan. Who are you trusting? Well, I'm glad chapter 19 happened. I'm glad he went and put it all out before the Lord. Because God is the one that turned this thing around. I'm talking an unmovable enemy. I'm talking about an enemy that he could not defeat upon himself, that was sure to put him in bondage, that was sure to spoil any plans that Hezekiah may have had. And God turned it around for his benefit. Ain't that a blessing? Praise God. I love these stories. I love our Lord just to see how many times he's come in and delivered his people from situations that they thought beyond help, beyond hope. I mean, think about that. Think about what he said there. One more time. Just think about what he said. My goodness. This day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to birth and there is not strength to bring forth. I don't know if that's an idiom, Brother Mike, but can you imagine that? The children are come to the birth and there is no strength to bring forth. I'll tell you, that saddened me when I read that the other day. I began to think about, listen, children born into the kingdom, children come to the birth, and there's no strength to bring forth. Well, it's beyond our strength, church. God's got to give strength for them to be born. He saw a desperate, hopeless situation. Think about that. Children come to the birth and there's no strength to bring forth. That grieves me. To think that somebody could be right at the edge of being saved and we can't go into labor pain. That's one way to look at that, isn't it? God's going to have to help us. It's in His hand. It's within His strength to do it. He can do a miracle. If He can make old Abraham and Sarah have a child at their age, He can do anything. Amen? Praise the Lord. I want you to stand this evening.